ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, your announcer, and it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back this week. Last week we did a tape show because I wasn't able to make it in, and it's good to be here. I kind of miss our little gathering here around the microphone. Good to be with you all again tonight. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship. We are in Prospect, Ohio at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. And our website is prospectccf.com. You know, it's one thing I haven't mentioned before, Terry, is that if they go to prospectccf.com, you can look up messages, past messages, and I've got a whole library of them. People can pull up and listen and see what they kind of get an idea of what they think
from
of the ministry.
Some of your past services.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are there for anybody that wants to listen to some of
That's
them.
Cool.
And they're there. They're unedited, mistakes and all. They're there. But anyway, you can listen to that. Hey, it's been a great week, and it looked like we were headed into fall, and now this heat is just back, and it's really kind of warm out. I was out working outside today. It was a beautiful day to work outside if you can stand the heat. Mm-hmm. I was just telling someone at the bank, I said, you know, it's kind of interesting. Everyone's complaining about the heat. I said, but we go to Florida for this stuff. And we're upset if it's not like this in Florida.
Exactly. Yeah.
But kind of interesting, isn't it? We get it here, it's like, oh, I'll never complain about the cold again. Anyway, hey, you know what? We've got the Popcorn Festival coming up.
We do.
Anything big planned for that?
Not that I'm aware of yet, but I will say stay tuned. I don't know of anything right now, but I would just say stay tuned.
You
know,
okay.
Because I don't unfortunately know. So.
Hey, you know, the first weekend in October at the Prospect Park, we do a thing with our church does. It's called Worship in the Park. And people come, and it's a day in the it's a fall festival in the park. Is basically what it is, and we have hay rides and bounce houses and food and music and games and all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you, I've never seen a family bring their kids that didn't come back and say, "Man, this was great! Thank you so much." So I want to let everyone know out there, it's free. It's the first weekend in October. First Sunday in October, excuse me. It normally starts at about between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, if you want to show up then. But it's a free event, and people have a great time. There's face painting and all the food you can eat, and it just doesn't cost anyone a dime. So I encourage you to come and do that. It's kind of a gift to the community to do that, and it's open to anyone that wants to come. It doesn't matter where they live. So,
is this something your church puts on?
Yeah, we do it every year.
Okay.
We've been doing it now. This is
I didn't know if you guys partnered up with anybody. Or,
no, this is our 11th year doing it. I think 10th or 11th year of doing it.
That's
so,
That's nice.
We finally got it down to where we figured the thing out. You know what I mean? You know how that goes.
Yeah. You worked out all the kinks.
Yeah, what works and what doesn't,
and
what's kind of nice as you do that, the cost of it comes down.
Sure.
And which is a great thing to do. And I'll tell you what, we have some really great food there, too. We usually have chili and hot dogs and just all kinds of great stuff there. So
it's all fall food,
yes. And there's pumpkins everywhere, and like I said, hay rides and games and just a lot of – there's stuff from toddler-age kids all the way up to us old kids.
Okay.
So I think they'd have a good time if they came. You know, Terry, something was on my mind a little bit. I've been feeling a little nostalgic lately. You ever feel that way?
I do.
Kind of look back at the past and look at things you're missing. And, you know, every day when I look in the mirror, I think, man, where did that young guy go that used to look in the mirror, look back at me in the mirror, you know? He's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, it was funny, just put a post yesterday on Facebook of his graduation picture and said, man, what happened to that guy? I said, well, I messaged back, well, he got old. and then I sent him a picture, the one actually of me standing from the WWGH sign. And I said, you think that's bad? Look at this old slab of hog jaw. I mean, I'm looking old. But, you know, the thing is, we look back and it's real easy. And I think we have to be careful not to with our kids all the time, always be talking about the good old days with the implication that today is so bad. Not that it's all that great all the time. There's a lot of good going on out there. There's a lot of changes that are happening. One thing that's kind of recent, you know, a lot of things are changing in as far as education and the Bible and Scripture. And one thing that I think is pretty neat is that sometime around the beginning of the 20th century, maybe a little bit before, by the end of the 19th century, because of the most Darwinian views had pretty much infiltrated the educational system, and most of your mainline denominations were believing that the Pentateuch wasn't written by Moses. You know, first five books of the Old Testament were not written by Moses. They didn't know who they wrote, but it wasn't Moses, they thought, as claims in the Bible. And they didn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And a lot of these things were leading and opening the door to a lot of take-it-or-leave-it thought on the Bible and what it says. And it's real interesting because in the last 40 or 50 years, they've actually come to actual proof that they're now sure that Moses, just like the Bible said, was the writer of the first five books of the Old Testament. And they're finding that through archaeological history, now that we're more advanced, that all these things were in the Bible that they thought didn't exist, they're finding did exist. And even things when it talks about things in space and time and space. And, you know, the Bible said the earth was round long before Columbus figured it out. And all of these things are coming to light. And I think it's kind of neat because we're living in an interesting age. Information's right at the fingertips. And people can research stuff. And they can check it out, can't they? And I think it's pretty neat. One thing that's kind of interesting to me is, though, I've always been one of those kind of show-me people. You know what I mean? You know, they say in Missouri, what's their slogan? The show-me state. You got to show me. And I've always been intrigued by getting to the root of a situation, something I don't like just surface stuff. I never have. A lot of people do. They just float along the surface and it's all fine and dandy. The all good mentality. Oh, it's all good. And even as a young person, when I was in high school, I joined the American Youth Party. You remember the American Party years ago? It was actually a third-party startup that was, I won't even get into the platform of the party because probably not a party to be part of now. But anyway, they had a youth division, and I was vice president of that in Ohio, and I learned a lot. And even back then, the thing that kind of turned me off a lot was we'd sit in the adult meetings, and there was always some kind of conspiracy theory going on. You know what I mean? And I like to look into things and think about things. And as I look back into things, I begin to see, you know, a lot of that stuff, there was some basis to a lot of what was being said. And there still is today. I think there's far more that goes on in government than any of us common people ever know. And behind the scene things, so to speak. But most people, I think they just kind of float along on the surface. And they just kind of, that's why the media has such power. News media has such power. It's because most people aren't going to investigate what they hear. They're just going to hear it and regurgitate it or blow it off or share it or do whatever they do. So the media, as long as they're convincing and sound good, can say whatever they want. And if you say it, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me, must be an allergy or something. I'm not sick, guys, so don't worry, you won't get my germs over the air. Anyway, that's one of the reasons the media has so much power is because people just, they said it on the news this morning, it's good and I'm good to go, and out the door they go. But I would encourage people today, and we are in such an informational age, and you even got to be careful where you look stuff up. Swopes isn't even all it's cracked up to be. When you really look into Swopes, and then you look at the who's behind Swopes, you know, they're supposed to be the fact check people, and they can't always be trusted with fact checks. So, but anyway, wherever you go, it's interesting. You can look stuff up, you can find it. And if you really want to know the truth of the Word of God, Scripture, man, it's all there. All that information is there for you to look up, for you to study. Google and go from there. Find one of the Bible study websites and go to some of the commentaries that are easy to find and understand. And a lot of people say, I just don't understand all that church stuff. I just don't get it. And it's not that easy to, I mean, it's not that hard to figure out how to find it, like anything else. I find it amazing that people can, if you ask people to find the running back record of a certain running back, man, they can jump all over that and find it in a heartbeat. Well, I think the information is there for all this other stuff too, for Bible, for history, for, you know, if you hear something about a leader, a political leader from our past, and founding fund, look it up. I mean, really look up the information, and don't just trust one source. Go to four or five, and then engage the brain and think and look. And I think that it's something that we owe it to ourselves in this day and age to make sure that we're not being hoodwinked. And that's by anyone. And we live in a day and age where it seems that honesty is relevant, is irrelevant. But there's a, how do I want to put it? It's kind of a situational ethics type thing. Like your ethics only matter in the situation at the current moment. What is ethical is how is it ethical to you at that time? Am I really hurting anybody? That type of an attitude. When basic morality, biblical morality, which we understand as in the Western world as where morality comes from, really doesn't have too much variation in it. What's moral, what's immoral. And I truly believe that if we look into a lot of things that we wonder, that we ask about, I think there's a broad amount of information out there that there wasn't always available to us before. You know, the internet has caused a lot of problems. Everyone talks about that. You know, you have the problem with the bad things on the internet, pornography, children, sex trafficking. That gets a lot of attention. But actually, there's some good stuff on there, too. And people can really search and find things on there if they're willing to slow down and take the time to do it. You know, we have an election coming up here in November. And I bet that most people don't know who's running for whatever. Or they might have heard. They really don't know much about any one of them. But I'll vote for this person because they're this, or I'll vote for this person because they're that. Do you really know where they stand? You know, why don't we look into that stuff? You know, you got a church down at the end of the corner. Why don't you get on the computer and Google that church? Find out what their statement of faith is. Find out what their doctrine is. Find out whether it's something that you can follow or not. What do you think? Do you think that we have all this information at our fingertips, but how are we using it? Are we just using it for entertainment? Or are we actually putting some, you know, when the internet was first brought online and everyone talked about it, it was going to be such a fantastic thing for information. And we've kind of given up the throne of the internet to social media. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. And you know, to kind of piggyback on your point, we're using it seems like, I don't even know how to explain this from, you know, let's say from a standpoint, obviously from a sports standpoint, like you said, we get stats and like, you know, especially Ohio State, you know, we want stats right now. But if it comes to anything, well, I'll look it up later or I'll, you know, I mean, it's just amazing how we, you know.
Yeah, but you really can further your education.
Sure,
There's so many different things you can do.
You could definitely use it to your advantage, but I just don't know. If a lot of people are doing that, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's the right terminology, but that's what I think.
I mean, you can better yourself at your job. You can take courses online. You can do all these things. Absolutely. That people sit around at night and play solitaire or whatever on their computer when they could be taking a course and bettering themselves.
Right.
And especially, you know, coming from a pastor, you know, Bible study. What if someone has this question in mind, you know, does church really do anything for kids, or is it just something that, you know, am I wasting my time? Are they going to be just like everybody? You know what? You can go online and find that out, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Just look up polls and studies and Google what you want to know, and stuff will start coming up and you'll start finding it.
I mean, like how many times do you see you know, couples or whatever come home, you know, they, of course, they have dinner and they do their evening stuff. And then they have a lot of time left over. And the first thing they do is either grab their iPad, you know, or something. But they use it for when they could be using it constructively, like you said, you know, to take a course. But yet they want to, you know, use it for, you know, whatever, you know, what's the, like you said, what's the stat of the, you know, I'm in my fantasy football, you know, or what, you know, I don't know.
We waste our time on a lot of entertaining stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no,
mindless stuff. I think it's because our minds are just so crowded and frustrated. Yeah. We just want to veg
out.
But
it's a release, probably.
But I do it too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a release, you know. I mean, you do it for...
You know, look up recipes, whatever. Sure, but, you know, sure. Things that just pop up, yeah, that looks interesting. I think I'll check that out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got all these things that'll pop up on the screen about, you know, what happened to the family of the Brady Bunch? You know, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
You don't even need it. Yeah. You know, and all that kind of stuff that people will get attracted or pulled into things with. But no, you really can. We're in an information age.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone says, oh, education's gotten so bad. Well, there's always been something bad along with something good. I mean, we just know that as a universal law. You take two steps forward with God, and Satan's thinking, what's the third step I can knock you backwards with?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he operates. He always has. He always will.
Yep.
And so expect it and throw a block. You know what I mean? And but use the information to your advantage. Compare sources, compare things. Try to go in with a somewhat of a blank mind. Well, I don't know, blank mind. You know, but you know what I mean.
Open mind. You know.
An open mind.
Yeah.
Go with an open mind, and you know, people. Well, I don't know. My parents were Catholic, and my mother-in-law was a Lutheran. What's the difference? Well, you know what? If you really want to know the difference, research.
Boy, you know, I hear that a lot. Honestly, I do. I hear, you know, just because my parents thought this, I automatically have to, you know, and I mean, I hear that so often, you know, and I want to say the same as you, you know, why don't you think for yourself, you know, or whatever.
Right? I get a kick out of it. I call it getting your religion by osmosis.
Ah.
Getting your faith by osmosis. People think, well, you know, I'm Lutheran. Okay. How are you Lutheran? Well, my grandmother was Lutheran. Well, that makes you Lutheran, or I'm a Baptist. And, you know, I remember one guy that was always, I've heard more people tell me, you know, my uncle was a pastor. Well, good for your uncle. What are you? You know, my brother is a pastor here, or my whatever, my grandma.
Wonderful.
Great for them. But where are you? You currently are not any of those things.
Exactly.
So what are you going to be, and what do you believe and why? And people, no one is going to get into heaven by osmosis. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way.
Oh, you just burst into bubble of...
Well, you know, my... What do you mean? What do you mean? My great-grandfather was...
Exactly.
Was Billy Graham or whatever.
Right.
Well, good for your great-grandfather, but where are you?
Yes.
And I remember I was in school. When I was back in school, we had this girl in our class, and... her father was a pastor, and every time we'd have a discussion, and at the time I was going to a Christian school in high school, and we'd have discussions, and in Bible class or in history or whatever, and she would always premise her what she was going to say with, well, my father says, my dad says. And finally, I just had enough one day. And I said, daggone it. I said, I don't want to hear, can you ever think for yourself? Can you ever think for yourself? You know, if you want to say the Bible says, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to say that, you know, God says this in the Bible, that's fine with me. But you can't always go by on what somebody else says all the time. You know, you've got to look. And it's, you know, I challenge... Many times I challenge our people in a congregation to hold me accountable. You know, if I say something up here that doesn't seem right, come to me about it, or you know, hold me accountable. And a lot of, I think sometimes that's why a lot of denominations don't rely heavily on the Bible, and they just give a sermon from a lectionary or something like that, because you know, don't have to worry about being held accountable. You're just reading. You know what I mean? And people don't. I've talked to people.
What do they do? Just like interpret it in their own words? Is that? I mean, is.
You mean in
like if they're not reading from scripture? I mean, if they're just reading a lectionary, you know.
The lectionary usually.
I mean, they don't read it word. They don't read it word for word, do they? No. They put it in their own words. Or,
they put it in their own words. Okay. Or they have, you know,
Their interpretation of it.
Yeah, or it's pre-written.
Okay.
It's pre-written, and then they can deviate a little bit here or there, and in their own words.
Because I've never heard that term before. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's very common. A lot of denominations use them. Where you can actually, they have the sermons.
These are already pre-done ahead of time.
Yeah, okay. The outlines are done a year in advance.
Oh, wow.
And you preach on, and that way, like if you're in a certain denomination, what happens is every church is preaching essentially on the same thing each week.
Oh, okay.
Not everyone has the freedom that I do, the scary freedom that I do, that I can go wherever I want whenever I feel the Lord leading. And then, of course, having the Bible in front of me and encouraging everyone in front of me to have a Bible also so we can follow along and study the Word together. And, of course, there's always a certain amount of interpretation going on as you read. I mean, as I read something, especially if I'm reading out of something like the King James Version, when you have something written in the 1600s, the old English isn't quite, the King's English wasn't exactly what we talk today. So you're not just going to read it verbatim and go from there. Plus, there's the fact that, you know, anytime you're interpreting Scripture, you got to put it in where it's supposed to be. What did it say before? What did it say after? And how does it correlate? You can't take an individual verse and just say, and stand on that. Now, there's places where you can, individually.
But you're viewing it as a whole, right?
I mean, you are viewing it as a whole. Whereas, you know, like some of the passages, you know, where Paul talks about women wearing a covering on their head, or some of the other things like that. Well, why was he saying that? What was going on at that time? What was the purpose for that? Does that mean that everyone today, every woman out there is committing some great sin if she doesn't show up for church without a covering, with her head uncovered? No, that's not what it means. But there are denominations today that believe that's the case, and they will wear coverings on their head. So that's just one example. But it all comes back to study, and the Bible is a fascinating book to study. It really is. And when you accept Christ in your life and you've got the Holy Spirit that helps you interpret, and that's what Jesus said when he ascended. What did he say? He said, I will send you a comforter. He said, I'm leaving, I'm gone, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And that was the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct and help us to understand what we are reading. But a lot of people just don't take the time. They'll take a few good words they hear on Sunday, and they'll go from there, and then they still feel an emptiness that could really be filled by understanding what they're reading and what's in front of them. And like I said, there's so much available today. I find it interesting that 100 years ago, people knew more about the Bible in general. People knew more about the Bible, what was in it, than they do today. Now, 100 years ago, mostly all they had was the Bible. Today, we have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of commentaries. There's Christian authors out there writing books constantly. There's videos. There's live feeds. There's all these things. I mean, you're just overwhelmed with it. And yet people seem to know very little about the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? I think it's because they're not taking the time and getting into the Word. You know, the Bible, it says that that God's Word won't return void. And that there's a reason that it's written. You know, it's for doctrine. It's for understanding. It's so that we can grow. It's our plan book on life. And a lot of people would rather sit down and watch a good Christian movie with a theme to it, see, and then you can grasp something from that and live on that for a while till you find another one. And I really wish that people would take the time to think of a Bible subject. I'm going to challenge you guys out there to do this. If you're listening, think of something that you don't understand about the Bible. This week, Google it and go from there. Don't stop with just one answer either. You might get a nut job out there giving you that. but no, don't just stop there. Go from there. Then find a Bible. Most people have one in their house. Mm-hmm. Most people. Find a Bible. Open it up. When you find something that directs you to that, it'll usually have a passage of scripture and whatnot in it that'll talk about it. Go to that and read it and see where that takes you. And try. It's a very simple thing to do. So that would be this week's homework. And by the way, if you want to call in, you guys know the number here is 740-383-9944. You can call in any time. This is a live show. And like we always tell you, keep it clean, keep it nice, and keep it warm. And love to have call-ins. But no, it's something that we very easily can do. Let's broaden our mind. Let's get away from the TV just a little bit, and get a little bit away from the games on the computer, and certainly the naughty places we shouldn't go on there, and look up some things that might expand you and help you grow and challenge you in the right direction. You know, if one thing that I try to tell people is that if you are seeking God, He'll reveal Himself to you. See, that's the thing. He says that anyone that seeks Him, He won't cast them out. He says, you knock and He'll open the door to you. I mean, He's there. He's waiting on you to respond to Him. And so maybe someone says, well, I don't know if I really believe. Tell the Lord that's a problem you have. I don't know if I really believe God. I really want to know. Do I believe? Can I believe? Will you help me believe? And He will. And people don't see God as being that real and relevant to them. But He truly is. I said, you know, many many things that I am. One is I'm a horrible procrastinator. I'm a show me person. A doubting Thomas. I got a lot of strikes against me. And I guess the good thing about that is that it forces me to stay in the Word and close to God so that He can direct and guide me. Because on my own, I'd just be a basket case. But anyway, you know, the thing is, though, if you constantly seek Him, you'll draw close to Him, and you know you will. And, you know, when I look back, sometimes you feel like you're not getting anywhere. Or, you know, where am I going with all this? And then all of a sudden you find yourself a couple years out, and you look back and you think, wow, I've actually come a long way from where I was. And, you know, we need to challenge ourselves a little bit. But the other thing, another thing we need to do is don't just rely on your own understanding. You rely on God's. But find other Christian people to talk with, to challenge you, to ask questions, to debate with. You know, there's men in our church and women that I've known for a long time. And we may not agree 100% on the process of everything we believe. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. We believe in the truth of what it says. But sometimes the process of what it says may be something that we don't disagree, that we're not the same on. Maybe we have difference in how we feel worship should take place, or a difference in how we feel, what kind of music we should listen to, or what we should or shouldn't expose our kids to. There's all those kind of things that we may not agree on. And we're never going to agree 100%. But that's not the point. The point is that we trust that each one of us loves God, is looking for truth, and we're good with that. I've got a lot of friends that don't look like me, and I hope that's always the case, right? So I never really understood. I understand cultural differences, and that's one thing in America that's a lot different than other places. We get hammered a lot for our different views and opinions in this country, but we're a melting pot, man. I mean, think about it. I mean, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, our parents were coming over, our great-great-grandparents or great-grand, whatever they were, you know, were coming over from Ireland or from Wales or from Africa or from the West Indies or wherever. We're from all over the place. Russia, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia.
I mean, Italy.
Italy. We're from everywhere.
Yeah.
Sweden.
Yeah.
In my family alone, we have, well, just in the last 75 years, I have a mother-in-law that came here from Wales. Mm-hmm. My wife's family was just a few generations back from Ireland. My daughter's husband's family, they're all, you know, Sweden from that area, Norway, Denmark, you know, in that area.
Norwegian.
And you know, we're all different, and we have different cultures behind us, and that's to be celebrated. I don't understand why there's white churches and why there's black churches. Do you? I love being in black churches. Sometimes the worship's a little different. That's fine. But then again, they don't come to the white churches because the worship's a little different. And it's not as comfortable for them. I don't think it's a thing where white people don't want to go to a black church any more than black people want to go to a white church. I think that it's a cultural thing sometimes. But I would love it if we could break down some of those cultural barriers and really enjoy spending time together. I love listening to African-American choirs and singing and worship. I just love it. And it's different. It's different than it is in a white church. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, ask a black person, they will tell you. They prefer their worship style to what goes on. But then again, there is some blending that goes in together. There's some unbelievable black Christian musicians out there and vocalists and singers and just wonderful. Andre Crouch, there are just several that are just unbelievable. But why aren't we spending more time blending together? We should be. I don't blame it on the church. I don't think it's some bad religious thing. I think it's just cultural. And I think we need to maybe do more of it. A little more pulpit sharing. What about that? Wouldn't that be interesting? You know, you go into some of these mainline churches and you'll see the same kind of guy in the same kind of robe and in the same kind of pulpit saying the same kind of thing to the same kind of people for the last 150 years. Right? Why don't we just shake it up a little bit, right? I enjoy that. I love seeing differences in culture come in and speak and do those things. It causes people to pay a little bit more attention and get outside of their comfort zone. You know, anytime we get outside of our comfort zone, we grow. We're not complacent. When we're complacent, we never, ever, ever grow. And we need to be outside of that. Quite frankly, it can get boring real easy. I don't want to be around the same kind of people all the time. That's no fun at all. Most of my friends are a little bit odd, and that's just fine with me, and it's fine with them. And they're not most of my friends, probably because I'm attracted to those kind of people, but most of my friends don't fit a norm pattern. You know, they're not, most of them aren't trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. That's just not, you know. And they may do something odd in public just because they feel like it, whereas some people would be so embarrassed they'd crawl under a table. You know, I get that. You know, I can enjoy that kind of a person, you know. But I think that we need a little bit more of that. I think we need a little more love, period, and caring, period. We all got to look so much alike.
Well, I mean to put that in perspective, how many times... Turn my mic up here, sorry. How many times have you been like at a restaurant or whatever, and you kind of think at first when you see someone do something unusual, you kind of feel embarrassment, but then the more you think about it, you're like, man, that was pretty, you know, I mean, that mm-hmm. guy or gal had a lot of courage to, you know, to do that, and it made your experience fun, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like I say, I've experienced that a lot, you know, you think wow, you know, but at first you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, like you're kind of really embarrassed, but then when you actually analyze it, you're like, man, that was, you know.
You know, something I do that isn't something crazy but it's something different that I try to do most of the time when I go out to eat. And that is, I will usually ask the person waiting my table, I will tell them that we're going to pray for our meal, and is there anything at all that you would like me to pray about? Something in your life, family, whatever it is there anything? Now, some people sitting across from me might go, oh no, I don't believe he just did that. But the truth is, I've never had anyone be rude when I've asked them that question. I've only had a handful of people say, no, I'm fine. And most people will stop and say, yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. And they'll either tell about a sick relative or a test they're taking at college that day, or, you know, someone needing a job, or, I mean, this is what usually happens. And then the next time I come in to that restaurant, they expect me to ask that question, and they're usually loaded with a few things. I actually had one lady that used to bring me a prayer list every time I walked into the restaurant, because I was the person. She didn't have a church, she didn't have a pastor,
yeah,
but she would bring me her concerns.
Oh, yeah.
And but those kind of things. Things that not everyone else does, mm-hmm, but maybe they should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, something like that, I think that'd be wonderful. But, I mean, something to kind of break the monotony. You know, like you're sitting there eating your meal, and, you know, you're having a conversation. And like I say, someone either says something funny very loud, or, you know, so, and at first, like I say, you think, oh, my goodness. And then, but then once you analyze, you're like, you know, then you start laughing, you know,
right,
or something. And you're like, man, that was pretty funny, you know. And
My sister-in-law had a barn sale last week, and she's downsizing. She's not been well and has a huge, huge place, and they were downsizing, but they had horses for a long time, and they had all this stuff together, and they had these boxes of cowboy hats, nice cowboy hats, and I had one of them, and I was looking at it, and not that I would wear, that's not me, but she said, I'll give you that if you'll put it on in the pulpit on Sunday. And she doesn't go to church herself, but she thought that would be funny. And I said, well, sure. And she said to my wife, she goes, he won't really do that, will he? And she goes, oh, yeah, he will. And my question is, why not? I mean, don't mean to leave it on, but I mean, right, why not wear it out and then just use it as an icebreaker,
sure,
or whatever you want to do.
Sure.
But we don't always have to be so. But I'll be honest with you, Terry, there are some churches, you do that and they would flip.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure of that, yeah. One day, I did it just to have some fun. We were having an all-store meeting where I work at, and they typically have them at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday. Well, of course, at 6 a.m. on a Sunday, you're still half asleep, and, you know. So I thought, I'm going to have some fun. So it was around one of the holidays, Memorial Day or 4th of July or something, and I went and I bought the hat, you know, like that with the red, white, and blue, you know.
Yeah.
Like the old, I call them a stovetop, that Abraham, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And these glasses that were the similar, but they had like guitars on them, but they were. So I walked in wearing that, you know, and everyone's just, I mean, I had more pictures taken. I mean, everyone just, and here it is 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, and I just thought, why not? Have some fun, man, you know. And
I have one of the most perfect pictures of my grandson, Jack, when he was about 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
And we were at a family reunion. And he had a red, white, and blue hat on.
Right.
He had the red, white, and blue guitar glasses.
Okay.
And he is in the process of getting ready to lick a great big cupcake, and then someone snapped his picture.
All right.
And I've got that in my office. Right. So I know the glasses you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I seen those, and I thought, man, this would be perfect, a perfect ensemble, you know, for this hat, and, you know.
Everyone woke up, didn't
they? Yeah, everyone's, like, running up to me, oh, my God, you know, like, I can't believe 6 o'clock, and I'm like, come on, guy, let's have some fun, you know, I mean.
Wake up.
I don't want to be here, you know, but let's make the best of it, you know, or whatever, and. So then, you know, the management team comes in, and they're all just dying, you know. Of course, they're getting their camera phone, they're taking pictures of me, you know. And I was like, I don't care, you know. And
fired you sure, the next day.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I had a great time, you know. I mean, I just,
yeah,
just like I say, just a little something to break the monotony there, you know. And so I just.
Yeah, I used to go to annual meeting or not or monthly meetings a lot in our association. I don't so much anymore. Mostly it's just a time issue.
Right.
But I notice a lot of guys like to have a little embroidered logo of their church with their name on their chest. So okay. I went and I had Pastor Steve put on my shirt
like
size
super Steve.
About like a billboard and wore it in. I was, oh, I guess we know who you are.
Absolutely.
I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, that's great. But see, like I say, stuff like that, man, I mean, I love it. Whether I'm on the receiving end of it or whether I'm on the I love it. You know, and if I am on the receiving end, like I say, the person that does it, I'm just thinking, man, I admire this person's courage, you know, to do something like that. And then once in a while, you know, you get that same feeling. You're like, you know what, let's have some fun today. And in my case, I roll the dice and see what happens. You know, either they're going to love it or they're going to hate it.
So. We used to have a guy that in the church that fell asleep a lot.
Okay.
And it was medical.
Yeah, right.
But he fell asleep a lot.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say anything unless he really got saw on him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it would be someone put a bag over his head and just lighten it up because everyone's feeling a little antsy and nervous, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you do that because, you know, why make a tense situation or what could be a tense situation worse? Why not just lighten it up?
Absolutely.
One thing that I find interesting, too, and I have actually had people that start coming to our church that said, you know, because of you reacting that way is one of the reasons we're here today. One thing that just mortifies a visitor to church is if their child starts crying.
Oh,
they've got a baby.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a lot of times when people come to church for the first, second, third time, they don't want to leave their kids in the nursery because they don't know.
Right.
And I don't blame them.
Absolutely.
Bring them in.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, the kids will start whining and getting fussy, and you see their this mortified look on their face. And you know, if it gets, I'll look over and say, it's okay. You know, we love kids here. And I'll say it right from the pulpit. You're fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
That's good.
And then I'll
give
remind
them reassurance. You know,
I'll remind them at the door, hey, look, we love kids. You know, if someone can't put that out of their mind and listen to the message, then shame on them.
Yeah.
And you do have those people sometimes in a church that will say, oh, I'll never go to that church. They had kids in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
I saw a kid running in the church. Well, kids run everywhere they go.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. We're running out of time. We got 4 minutes. You know, today I wanted to talk a little bit, and we did, a little bit about, there's good things about the education available to us out there. Christian education, Bible education. There's good scholarly stuff out there. Just start looking for it. You know, and if you don't know where to start, give me a call. 740-494-2222 or ProspectCCF.com, PastorSteve@ProspectCCF.com, and I will answer your text. I'll tell you, why don't you start here? Why don't you look there? Something of that effect.
So you could develop a plan for somebody. Then,
oh,
basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, they need to start doing something. Don't just sit back and be complacent and think, well, I don't know this and probably never will.
Be more productive, you know.
And, productive in everything that you do. I mean, it's out there. And then, you know, the other thing is don't think that all churches out there have to be somewhere you're afraid to go to, some place where you're going to worry about what you look like. You know, if you come to our church, it looks like a zoo. Well, I shouldn't say that. But, no, what I mean is we are Heinz 57. We're all from all over. We look different. We dress different. We everyone wears something different. I mean, there's no set dress code. There's no set kind of person. Isn't that how it should be?
Absolutely.
You know, aren't we just a group of
people? Because you're all there for the common thing, which is to worship. You know?
Exactly. I mean, we're not there to impress each other with
what
we wore today.
Worshiping doesn't care what you, you know.
No, no. I don't think Jesus ever.
Right.
That really gets me, Terry. I don't think Jesus ever dressed like the Pharisees. But somehow we feel like we have to dress like the Pharisees to come to church. Right. It doesn't make any sense to me. Kind of weird.
Is that, that's where the phrase Sunday best came from, maybe, you know, or something.
And giving God your best isn't a bad thing. But maybe your Sunday best is somebody's daily worst.
Exactly.
But that's fine.
Yeah. And I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
There's not a thing wrong with it. You know, if you're going to worship with someone based on how they're dressed, you got the issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, listen, it's been a great night. Good discussion. I really would like you to call in and so we could have some more discussions. But come see us at Community Christian Fellowship. But we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Sunday morning, 9:30 in the morning is Sunday school. 10:30 is worship hour. We're usually out of there just a little bit before noon. And love to have you come. So come visit us. Remember, the phone number, 740-494-2222. We're getting ready, Team Kids getting ready to start up from 3 years old all the way up through 5th and 6th grade.
And
so,
that fall festival, right?
Yeah, fall festival. We got a lot of things going on. Our youth groups every Sunday evening. We got some neat stuff going on. So encourage you to come. Give us a call. Hey, God bless you guys. Love y'all. Later.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.